Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Being a Brother to Men Struggling with Same-Sex Attraction by Stephen Moss. Have you ever wondered how you can walk alongside men struggling with same-sex attraction as a brother? I still remember the first time I told other guys about my own struggle with same-sex attraction. I was sharing a hotel room with three close friends at a ministry training event. Late one afternoon, as we gathered to pray, I took a breath and said, "Hey, there's something I need to share with you guys." I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but I remember the quiet that followed, the hands on my shoulder, the nods and prayers, the hugs as we got up to leave. Their response didn't surprise me. These guys knew how to meet vulnerability with grace. But even as I expected their kindness, I thought surely something would change after that moment. Maybe they'd pull back slightly to protect me or to protect themselves. Or maybe I'd become the fragile one that they handled more carefully, shifting me from peer to project. Or maybe I'd become their faith hero. But I was wrong, because nothing changed. Back in the hotel room that night, I offered to take the floor so my friend could have the bed to himself. He immediately waved me off. "Stephen, don't be dumb. Get up here." A few minutes later, our other friend came in from a run, pulled off his shirt, and started doing sit-ups on the carpet while we all talked. I remember thinking, did they hear what I said earlier? But of course they did. They just weren't afraid of me. They trusted me. I was still one of them, still belonged in that room, not as an other, but as a brother. Over the years, as this struggle has become part of my public testimony, I frequently heard the following question from other men. How do I love my friend who's walking through this? When I think about the men who've loved me well along the way, their care has looked remarkably ordinary. Honestly, it's what every healthy Christian friendship is made of. Presence, trust, and grace. But still, there are some dynamics here that are worth paying attention to. Areas where good intentions can get tangled up with sin or weakness. I've seen these at play in my own friendships, as well as the friendships of others. So I write this for you, men who want to love your brothers well in their struggle with same-sex attraction. From one brother to another, here are three encouragements that I'd like to share with you. Number one, begin with your heart. When a close friend shares that he's struggling with same-sex attraction, especially if you weren't expecting it, you'll probably feel a mix of emotions. Maybe your instinct is to stuff these feelings down, or maybe it's to let them fly. But either way, let me invite you to pause. Set aside for a moment what you think that you should feel in this moment, and ask honestly, what am I feeling? Take time to notice what's happening in your heart before God. Maybe you feel compassion for your friend, or sadness. Maybe you feel anger, or betrayal that he didn't tell you sooner. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. One more person who needs more than I can give. Maybe there's discomfort or awkwardness. Does he have a crush on me? Or maybe you're afraid of what he's going to tell you next. Some men might react directly out of these feelings, venting or trying to exert control over the situation. Others, though, might suppress those feelings, smiling and just pretending that they're unaffected. But neither response actually honors your friend. Your feelings, they don't make you a bad friend. They make you human. But they are an invitation to slow down and bring your heart to the Lord. Ask Him what's underneath those feelings. Are they shaped by your own story or your own past wounds? Maybe they're shaped by assumptions that you've drawn from others' failures or media caricatures. Are they rooted in pride or fear or maybe idols of control or comfort? Perhaps the Spirit is prompting you toward wise discernment and Christ-like love. You don't have to fully understand or fix your feelings before you love your friend, but you do need to surrender your feelings to Christ. He's not surprised by them, and he alone can reshape your heart to reflect his heart for your friend. Number two, love freely within good boundaries. Okay, once you've brought your feelings before the Lord, the question then becomes, now what do I do? What does my friend need from me? You might be a guy like me who wants to look like he already has all the answers, but a great place to start is simply asking him. Ask your friend. Ask him what brotherly love looks like for him with this particular struggle. Not all men struggling with same-sex attraction are going to need or want the same things in friendship. So let him tell you where he's at and listen. He might say that brotherly physical affection is meaningful for him, or maybe quality time, verbal affirmation, or vulnerable sharing. All of these can be valuable components of healthy male friendship, and none of them are wrong for him to hope for from a close brother. But this is so important. Your brother's wishes are not your commands. It's true. You cannot love your brother well if you just refuse to consider his needs or hold back expressions of friendship that you would freely offer to other men simply because of his struggle. For example, you refuse to hug him because you're afraid of sending the wrong message. But neither can you love your friend well if you just abandon discernment and boundaries altogether. For example, you stay silent when his hugs start to feel uncomfortable to you because you're afraid of hurting his feelings. Healthy boundaries are not walls to keep love out. They're more like trellises, helping love grow strong, steady, and sustainable. Boundaries honor you both, protecting against confusion, resentment, and exhaustion. Boundaries allow affection, affirmation, and time together to become gifts rather than obligations, offered freely, not extracted. So love doesn't mean saying yes to everything your friend wants. Love means discerning together what will build you both up in Christ and asking God to help you say yes to that with honesty, generosity, and freedom. Number three, be his brother, not his savior. All men need brothers in Christ who help bear our burdens and run the race alongside us. But male friendship can be especially vital for men struggling with same-sex attraction who might feel alienated from other guys, unsure of how to belong. Your faithful presence can help your friends see that brotherhood is possible, even with all of your own weaknesses and failures. In fact, when you share your own struggles with him and invite him into your life, you remind him that he's not just a project or a charity case. He is a man in God's image who can offer friendship, strength, and wisdom to others. He belongs among men. So yes, as this man's trusted brother in Christ, you do have an important role to play in his life. But there is a big difference between a brother and a savior. It's easy, especially for caring, well-meaning men, to slip into rescue mode, to believe that you're the one keeping your friend faithful or steady. And it's even easier to do that when your friend starts looking to you for saving. Your friend does need brothers in Christ, and so do you. That is good and that is right. But when "I need brothers" turns into "I need you," something has gone wrong. Because you might be a good man, and you might be a good friend, but brother, you are a very, very bad messiah. Love your friend enough to point him to Christ, not yourself, even or especially when it feels good to be needed, or when he thinks he can't survive without you, because you are not the source of his stability or healing. Jesus is. Help your friend find the connection that he needs beyond you, to other brothers and fathers in the faith, to the ordinary life of the church, to the wider body of Christ where his gifts and presence are needed too. When you stop trying to be your friend's savior, you can finally be his friend, and he can be yours. And that's honestly what you truly both need from each other. You can laugh and grieve together, challenge and encourage one another, and share in the grace that's holding you both. That's the kind of friendship that makes the gospel believable. Walking together in grace. What's helped me most in friendship with other men? It's not the grand gestures or deep emotional conversations. It's the ordinary moments. The safe, steady presence. The brothers who kept treating me like one of the guys, not like an exception. Who told me not to be dumb when I tried to pull away. That kind of ordinary, faithful brotherhood, it does something powerful in a man's heart. It diffuses the shame that isolates and the fear that distorts. It helps men who struggle with same-sex attraction see other men not as objects of comparison or desire, but as brothers to be honored and enjoyed. Brotherhood does not erase temptation, but it does rewrite the story around it. It takes what sin has twisted and it reclaims it for love. This kind of brotherhood is not one-sided. It's mutual. It's not about one man rescuing another, but about both men walking together toward Jesus, who has rescued them both. It's not one man giving out of guilt or compulsion, but both men giving out of the fullness that only Christ provides. It's not about the exclusivity of two, but the interconnectedness of a community. So you don't have to do something extraordinary to love your brother well here. You just have to keep showing up with presence, trust, and grace, and let him do the same for you. The rest is the quiet, steady work of Christ in both of your hearts, the true brother who makes us all one family.